everybody. Welcome back to Tea Talks with Lex. It has been a minute, and that has been due to some things in my personal life. But today's topic of the video is mostly us talking about Biden's State of the Union address and the Republicans' response. I was going to do a mix-up mashup of the whole thing, but I decided that we needed to address Biden's State of the Union. So I'm going to start off by saying that if you are a President Biden fan or you have an issue with anything I say, just don't listen. Save us time and energy and just don't listen. So we're going to start off with the tone of the speech and then get into the speech. So I will be honest with you, I did not watch the full thing because to me, he just gave off angry grandpa vibes, yelling at kids on his front lawn. And it was very much, in my opinion, a campaign speech, not a State of the Union speech. Do with that information what you will. I will say he was very angry throughout the whole speech, which to me, angry while talking to the American people was not my vibe. So I needed to exit. But we are going to get into basically the speech. So I was surprised that the first part of his speech was about Ukraine. Because honestly, when I was sitting there, I was like, did I miss some of this? And that was the beginning. Why are you, as the President of the United States, addressing Ukraine first in your speech? Like, sit with that for a minute. The President of the United States decided to address Ukraine before it addressed any issue in America. And he hounded the Republicans about funding, those blocking the funding. Americans do not care about Ukraine. Ukraine, on the list of issues that Americans are dealing with, is at the bottom, sir. Like, I'm sorry. So that was like the first one. And he also in the beginning hits on that we're under attack both home and overseas. And at first when he said at home, I was a little confused because I was like, what are you talking about? But then as he continued his speech, I realized what he was doing. Because Biden mentions Trump 13 times in this speech. 13 times. I counted 13 times that he said my predecessor. And honestly, I get that Trump is your running mate. 100% your running mate, okay? I understand that you have a campaign to win. But the State of the Union is not the place to address whatever sort of campaign you're trying to win. And also he mentioned January 6th. I am so over hearing this man talk about January 6th. You are beating a horse to death. Be quiet. January 6th only comes up when you guys are trying to do some sort of campaign or run all over Trump with it. Like, enough. Especially since it's, like, been proven not to be the case. Like, let sleeping dogs lie, okay? Just let it go. Like, let it go. I'm trying really, really hard to stay composed. We can all agree January 6th was not okay, okay? But the fact of the matter is that upon research, upon linked videos, upon things that happened, I am not convinced that the Democrats didn't have anything to do with it. I know Trump had nothing to do with it, but I am not fully convinced that the Democrats didn't have anything to do with it. In his speech, for those that want to know the direct line, he said, my predecessor and some of you here, because he was talking in the House, and that part annoyed me, seek to bury the truth about January 6th. And he said, I will not. Then he officially addresses the border. Okay, here's my issue with this man. He can't just say his policies suck. He has to blame the world. Because he wrote, in here he says, in November, my team began negotiations with a bipartisan group of senators. The results with the bystander bill with a tougher set of border security reforms they've ever seen. And then he goes on a tangent about, oh, you don't think so? Oh, you don't like the bill, huh? That conservatives get together and said it was a good bill. I'll be damned. That's amazing. Look at the facts. I know you know how to read. Okay. Sir. Are you insane? Why is it that you cannot just give a speech and unify the country? You have to attack half the country. Always. Always, always, always. So then this is the first part of the speech. This is where the first part of the speech, where in this part of the speech is the first time, I mean, that my blood pressure started to raise a little bit and I started to get mad. Listen, Marjorie Taylor Greene, I love you and hate you sometimes because you like to heckle, and heckling is annoying to me. But this time, thank you. Thank you, ma'am, because you made him say something about Lincoln Riley, who died by an illegal immigrant. The fact that this man does not know how to say her name, let alone what her name actually is amazing to me. It's amazing to me. And then he does a slip up where he calls the person an illegal alien and says how many thousands of people being killed by illegals. But this is where I really get annoyed with this man, is because he always brings it back to having lost children myself. He says, to her parents, I say, my heart goes out to you. Having lost children myself, I understand. Your understanding of losing their child means nothing when you cannot respond or say her name correctly. You did not call the family. Trump did. They've declined your invitations from what I've read now. And you can't say her name right. You understand? That's great that you understand. But what are you going to do to solve the problem? Our borders are still open. Wide open. For all kinds of people to come in. But you would rather blame Republicans than your policies. Because it's easier for you. And again, you have not reached out to the family. Trump has called them. There's the difference right there. And then Biden addressed his age, finally, about being told he's too old and blah, 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 blah. And he acts like he's not too old. You are, sir. You are too old to be running for president. I do not care how old you think you are. Okay? We are going to get to the Republicans' response. But first, we are going to talk about the fact that a Gold Star father who yelled multiple times, "Remember Abby Gate," was put in handcuffs and was charged on a misdemeanor of crowding, obstructing, incommodating. Are you kidding me, sir? Are you kidding me? Every time Afghanistan is brought up, every time a Gold Star family member talks to you and you do something like this, I get more mad. Not only at you, but at Blinken and at Austin. And General Milley for that matter. I'm going to try not to scream. The fact that this man, has lost his child from a terrorist, ISIS bombing, that we were aware of happening months ago, and our troops were told not to bomb, not to go on foot. This man lost his child, and we had the intel this was going to happen. The country is not safer with you, sir. Our men and women are not safe with you, sir. And the fact that you allowed this man to be arrested is absolutely ridiculous. That man lost a child on your watch, and you refused to acknowledge it. You refused to take accountability for your choices in the Afghanistan withdrawal. Every single time it is brought up, you pretend it doesn't exist. While the rest of us, who have lived very much this realities of war and have lived with the fear of the knock on the door, this man had to bury a child that you are not supposed to outlive. As a mother, that is extremely terrifying. And I cannot imagine what this man's going through. But then to find out, I found out after some digging that this man not only lost one child because of this, he lost two. His other son committed suicide in the midst of grief. This man lost two children. And this administration refuses to address Abigate and Afghanistan. And you know, in my last podcast and on my Instagram, I have been screaming from the rafters about the Afghanistan withdrawal. And I'm going to be honest with you. If you think I'm a thorn in your side right now, the fact that you allowed this man to be arrested makes me more a thorn in your side. I do not understand how, as the President of the United States, you can ignore a Gold Star family member and allow him to be arrested like nothing else matters. The world, the country is not safer with you as president. And I'm not even going to make the comparison to Trump again, because we all know that this would not have occurred if President Trump was on that stage. It would not have. Hell, it wouldn't have occurred if Ron DeSantis was on stage. Let's just be honest here. Now, I want to say this part specifically to Steve, to Stephen Nikawi. I think I'm saying your name right. I want to personally talk to you for just a minute. I will never understand the pain of losing a child in a war that he fought in or signed the dotted line for up to his life. I will never sit here and tell you that I understand what it's like to lose somebody to this war, because I was one of the fortunate ones. My dad came home. I know not everybody was lucky as me. But I will say, I am so sorry for your loss. It didn't have to be this way. It could have been prevented. And it wasn't, and for that, I'm sorry. And all the I'm sorry's and the accountability won't bring your son back. May not even give you peace. So with that being said, I want you to know from a military daughter who is doing this podcast because it very much is her passion project and she loves it, that you are welcome on this podcast anytime. I will sit down with you and talk to you. I cannot imagine your pain and your grief, but I am willing to sit there and talk to you. I did not lose my son. I did not lose my son. My son is very much alive, but I did lose somebody to suicide, and I know how hard that is. And I cannot imagine, again, the grief and the pain that you are going through. But you are welcome on here anytime to talk about Afghanistan or anything else you want to talk about. You are welcome here. And the floor will always be yours here. Okay, So now we're going to talk about the only Republican that I, not the only Republican, but one of the Republicans that I love dearly in response to this, because I personally love this man, Representative Michael Waltz from Florida, is going to pay the fine for the Gold Star dad who was arrested during the State of the Union address if he is charged. Thank you, Michael. I have no words for you. You have been somebody who has been amazing in response to this. Sorry, I'm typing. You guys have been amazing. You have been amazing. You have done a lot for Afghanistan withdrawal. You are somebody that I follow extremely because of the fact that you've been so much of a person who is kind of up the Democrats' butts about it. And that is the reason that I like that, that I truly, 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 truly like you for that. And I will be honest with you, Republican Michael Watts, you are one of the people that are on my list of people that I would love to have on my podcast. So the invitation is extended to you as well, if you're even listening to this. I have, like, very little faith that anyone big is really watching this. And I just want to end this note on this to Biden. Biden, if you had any sort of a soul, any sort of understanding of grief and losing a child, you would not allow this man to be charged. You will do what's necessary to make sure he's not charged. That man has been through enough. That family has been through enough. A divorce, two children dying. Even his ex-wife is saying, well, this is ridiculous. So if anything, you've done an impossible thing that most people in the United States can't do, is get two parents that used to be together to agree on something. So now I'm going to pull up the Republicans' full speech and we're going to break it down, because I am really proud of the response. You know, I have to admit, I didn't touch on abortion. Obviously, I didn't touch on the abortion part of it, because him attacking the Supreme Court, President Biden attacking the Supreme Court, is nothing new. So Katie Britt did the Republican response. And if I'm being honest with you, I love her energy. I just really do love her energy. I don't know why I love it so much, but every time she talks, I find myself, like, watching her and just being so engulfed in it and loving her energy. And I really don't know why that is. But, like, I will say she's, like, a really good speaker. And I know a lot of people are like, oh, she's a freshman senator. But, like, I really do love her passion. And I really do love, like, her talking. So I'm not going to read, like, the good morning part in the honor of serving the people of the great state of Alabama in the United States. Because we all know she's a senator from Alabama. If you don't know, you're hearing this now. I love the fact that, like, one of her first sentences was, I'm a proud wife and a mom of two school age kids. As a mom, I think that a lot of you will resonate with this. The guilt of being a working parent is hard, and it's very much reality. And if you've been listening to me for a little bit, you will know that me and my ex did not work out. But marriage is always something I've wanted. But now I feel like as a single parent, that's not a possibility, especially with someone who is conservative. I don't feel like it's possible for me to be able to have a life mate. Maybe I'm just being a negative Nancy about it, but that's just kind of how I feel. And I love how she puts, I'm worried about their future and the future of their children in every corner of our nation. That is something that as a parent, I'm extremely worried about. even with all the faith in the world, I can't help but think about everything that is going on in my son. I can't help but think about it. And I like that she did it from her kitchen table. And she says, like many Americans across the country, my husband Wesley and I just watched the President Biden's State of the Union address from our living room. And what we saw was the performance of a permanent politician who has actually been in office for longer than I've been alive, which I feel is a very key point that we should be making. This man has been in politics longer than I've been alive too, probably, more than likely. I can't do math right now. And he has accomplished nothing except being vice president and being president. Like, those are those two big accomplishments. Like, his record's not great, but yet he ran for president. Like, I'm still trying to understand how he won. And, like, the fact that the Democrats know, like, especially, like, specialist experts know that his policies are crazy is even more crazy to me. One thing was quite clear. President Biden just doesn't get it. He's out of touch. Under his administration, families are worse off, our communities are less safe, and our country is less secure. High crime. New York, hello. I'm in New York and this is coming from me. And the cost of living in New York. Whew, let's not go there right now. I'm not going to get on a Governor Hochul tangent. And she says, I wish you just understood what families are facing around the kitchen table just like this one. You know, this is where our family has tough conversations. It's where we make hard decisions. It's where we share the good, the bad, the ugly of our days. It's where we laugh together and it's where we hold hands and pray for God's guidance. And many nights, to be honest, it's where Wesley and I worry. I know we're not alone. And so tonight, the American family needs to have a tough conversation because the truth is we're all worried about our nation, about the future of our nation. I'm going to share something personal in regards to that because that hit me like a ton of bricks. I remember sitting at my dining room table on probably one of the hardest days of my life. We don't have a kitchen table in this house, so dining room table. And not only was I worried, but I was struggling with the realities of my son's father and I's relationship. I had come to the realization that he wasn't the person that I wanted to be with. And the way that he treated me and handled me being pregnant was probably the hardest 3 months of my life because I found out at 5 months. I didn't know what I was going to do. And I have broken down more times than I can count because of that. So that really truly hit me like a ton of bricks. And I think that was the first time in I would say 10 years that I prayed. Because I couldn't handle my situation anymore. I was falling apart. And I didn't know where else to turn. And although I love my family, I haven't ever really been able to open up with them about a lot of things. So I was just like, what do I do? So it really hit. So that really hit me like a ton of bricks. And we do need to be having a tough conversation. The country we love, we know and love, seems to be slipping away. Feels like the next generation will have fewer opportunities and less freedoms than we did. And that is honestly a scary sentence for me. But it's the truth. I worry my own children may not even get a shot at living their American dreams. And again, that hit me like a ton of bricks. Because not only does my son have two things working against him right now. One, the country's in shambles. And two, a lack of a father. You know, I was watching Graham Allen the other day, and he brought up, you know, lack of fathers in the home. And honestly, since getting pregnant, that has been my biggest fear. is that my son not having his father around and by choice is hurting him. And there's nothing I can do about it. So yeah, it's that hit me like a ton of bricks. My American dreams allowed me, the daughter of two small business owners from Rural Enterprise, Alabama, to be elected in the United States Senate at age 40. Growing up, sweeping the floor in my dad's hardware store and cleaning the bathroom in my mom's dance studio, I could never imagine what my story would entail. To think what the American dream can do across just one generation in just one lifetime is truly breathtaking. But right now, the American dream has turned into a nightmare for so many families. The unvarnished state of our union begins and ends with this. Our families are hurting. Our country can do better. And you don't have to look further than the crisis at our southern border to see it. President Biden inherited the most secure border of all time. Okay, let me read that again. President Biden inherited the most secure border of all time. He undid every single one of Trump's policies. But minutes after taking office, he suspended all deportations, he halted construction of the border wall, and he announced a plan to give amnesty to millions. We know that President Biden didn't just create this border crisis. He invited it with 19 executive orders in his first 100 days. Sound about right? When I took office, I had a different approach. I traveled to Del Rio, sector of Texas. That's where I spoke to a woman who shared her story with me. She had been sex trafficked by the cartels starting at the age of 12. She told me not just that, but that she was blank every day. I'm not going to say the word because I don't know how Apple's going to do with that. But how many times a day she was. And basically she goes into the story. And the fact that this man will never address the fact that this is happening at our southern border is amazing to me. This is the United States of America, and it's past time, in my opinion, that we start acting like it. President Biden's border policies are a disgrace. You know, to be honest with you, when I first started looking into sex trafficking, I really thought that, like, you know, certain things were being made decision-wise that made that, like, for the betterment. But since this man has taken office, I have realized that I am starting to think that they're all in on this bullcrap, to be honest with you. That especially career politicians are all in on this. That's all I'm going to say. And then she talks about fentanyl crisis. And then she talks about Lincoln Riley, which I'm not going to go any further in that because I'm just going to get angry at this man. I will touch on the fact that President Biden finally said her name, but he refused to take responsibility for his own actions. That is true. That young woman is dead because of his policies. At the end of the day, point blank period. The man in question killed him, but President Biden's policies brought him here. Enough, and I agree with her, enough is enough. Worst inflation in 40 years and the highest credit card debt in our nation's history. Let that sink in. Hardworking families are struggling to make ends meet. So I'm going to share something that I haven't shared publicly. I'm living paycheck to paycheck to the point where I was debt free and now I'm not. And now I'm working to get out of debt again. As a single mom, it is very, very hard to not live paycheck to paycheck. My dream is to own a home, and if we didn't live with my parents right now, we would lose that home. And that's just the reality. The American people are scraping by while President Biden proudly proclaims that Bidenomics is working and you're in delusional land. I'm not going to continue that. And then he said, I did everything right. I did everything I was told to do. I worked hard. I saved. I was responsible. He's not alone. I had similar concerns from fellow parents while whether I am walking with my friends or whether I'm walking to my kids' game. But let's be honest. It's been a minute since Joe Biden pumped gas, ran a carpool, or even pushed a grocery cart. That is true. If you, listen, I'm going to talk about New York for a second. The New York's cost of living is astronomical. And, you know, again, when I was watching Graham's show, he was talking about leaving New York. I wish that was possible for me. That's not. Due to agreements with my son's father, I'm not allowed to leave. And that's okay. Whew. Okay. We're going to try and get through this. Meanwhile, sorry, my phone went off. Meanwhile, the rest of us see our daughter. We know it doesn't go far. We see it every day, and despite what he tells you, our communities are not safer. For years, the far-left caught criminals defunded the police, all while repeat offenders walk free. The result is tragic but foreseeable. Obviously. I'm not gonna... There's not much... Okay, so now I want to talk a little bit about China for a second. And the enemies of freedom, they see an opportunity. Putin's brutal aggression in Europe has put our allies on the brink. Iran's terrorist proxies slaughtered Israel Jews and American citizens. They targeted commercial shipping, and they have attacked our troops nearly 200 times since October, killing 3 U.S. soldiers and 2 Navy SEALs. Meanwhile, the Chinese Communist Party is undercutting Americans' workers. China is buying up farmland, spying on our military installations, and spreading propaganda through the likes of TikTok. You see, the CPP knows that if it conquers the minds of our next generation, it conquers America. And what does Biden do? Well, he bans TikTok for government employees but creates an account for his own. Y'all can't make this stuff up. Look, we all recall when presidents face national security threats with strength and resolve. That seems like ancient history. Right now, our commander-in-chief is not in command. And that is the reality of it. The reality of the situation is that the Democrats have put somebody in power that they can control. Both sides of the Democratic Party, progressive and unprogressive, have put somebody they can put that they can control in office. And he is not in control. And if you think he is, I'm concerned for you. We feel it, but here's the good news. We, the people, are still in the driver's seat. We decide whether our future will grow brighter or whether we'll settle for American decline. Well, I know which choice our children deserve, and I know the choice the Republican Party is fighting for. We are the party of hardworking parents and families, and we want to give your children the opportunities to thrive, and we want families to grow. It's why we strongly continued nation access to in vitro fertilization. I'm not gonna keep reading that because I know that a lot of conservatives have different views on IVF, and I am not in a position where I've done enough research to give you my opinion, so I'm gonna skip that. Let's see, was there anything else? And I do like that she says, first of all, we see you and we hear you and we stand with you. I know you're frustrated. I know you're probably disgusted by most of what you see going on in Washington. And I'll be honest with you, you're not alone for feeling that way. Look, I get it. The task in front of us is an easy one, but I can promise you one thing. It is worth it. So I'm not going to continue to read that because she ended it. It kind of goes on and then it ends there. She's 100% right. You know, I used to think that voting in New York was enough. Not saying anything was enough. That's not reality. So that is the end of that.